And joining us now is Ryan Martin, who is with Louis Dreyfus Company. He's a soybean buyer, and also you hear him all over the state talking markets as well as weather. So, Ryan, been a while. Welcome back.
Well, good to be here, Ken. I hope things are going well for you and yours and everybody over the region.
Well, a couple things we want to talk to you, and the reason why I like talking with you is not only are you immersed in the markets, but you bring a little different look as you look at it weather-wise. And as we go about our conversation, I want to talk more about that as you see kind of this growing season play out. But let's maybe first let's kind of tackle these markets from a higher point where we've been all over the place since the first of the year. The pandemic's opening up much, and with the economy going strong, so have the commodity markets.
Yeah, exactly. And it's all been predicated on supply and demand. And this goes all the way back to last fall when we finally started seeing China come to the table making purchases of product. Since then, we've seen weather play a big role in South America. Did it or didn't it? It depends on who you ask, really impact the soybean production down there. We know it's impacting corn production right now because of superb dryness in the southern part of Brazil's growing area. So that's the second crop corn area. And we know Argentina got whacked hard. So that's the supply side. And then on the demand side, China continues to buy. Now, all of a sudden, we've got tight balance sheets here. And there's a lot of hand wrangling as to whether or not we've reached the tightest level yet. And it depends on whether you believe what USDA is printing as a reasonable number or if it's actually below what we have seen happen over the past few weeks, Ken. Interior basis levels tell us there's not much crop left here.
Well, that's what it seems like. We continue to hear folks taking phone calls and normally don't get calls from originators looking for grain. One thing we do know here in Kansas is the sorghum market is still extremely hot. That is one that it looks like is going to play out well into next year after this year's crop is harvested.
Yeah, and it's for two reasons. First of all, sorghum excitement has already started to build again in China. They've been working on getting some more milo purchases, sorghum purchases. But also remember, if we're talking tight crop on corn, there's some play back and forth between switching out for sorghum on feed versus corn. Will we see more sorghum go into these ethanol grinds? So there's all that at work as well. And it really sets the stage for, I think, a very nice potential marketing story for sorghum, not just here for the old crop, but maybe even going into some of these new crop plantings.
Quickly, let's talk about, will we see any acreage shift? We talk about it every year. It always seems to kind of go back into order, but looking at maybe more soybeans.
Well, and it's not anything to do with price. You know, if you look at, and these are markets that I'm looking at right here. If you look at these numbers is where we finished out the week and what the soybeans and the corn did, both of them have gone up substantially. I don't think you can make an argument corn versus beans, except on the crop input side, Ken. And that has been the story. Fertilizer, way up. Chemicals now outside of fertilizer, whether it's your herbicides, pesticides, way up. And if you had not gotten those numbers locked in before on corn, those are the guys that are thinking maybe about switching to beans. Now, is it enough to make a big shift in our overall acreage numbers for the country? That remains to be seen. But Ken, that's where the shifts are going to come from.
Ryan Martin from Louis Dreyfus Company is joining us. We're going to take a break, come back, and get his outlook on what could happen this rest of this year for weather. We'll do that in just a moment. And our guest this week is Ryan Martin from Louis Dreyfus Company. We talked about these markets, but also, Ryan, you're a meteorologist. And so talk about, you know, everybody's anticipating. It seems like that is probably the second highest topic is when is all this planning going to take place? We know in the Southeast, it's been well underway for a while. But, you know, we want good moisture, but we also want to be able to put these spring crops in pretty smooth.
Well, and really here, you've got to divide this weather story out geographically and regionally. So let's start close to home here. You know, we just got done with a week here that has been, you know what, the phrase that was talked to me about all week long was, are you flipping kidding me? And, you know, substitute whatever word you want to put in there. But the idea was cold and snow, Mother Nature did not want to give it up this week. Now here, we're going to bounce pretty quick. I think next week we're going to be looking at very warm temperatures here overall. And going forward, we're probably going to be coming out okay. Slow probably to start here on planting, but I think we ramp these numbers up pretty quickly as the USDA report comes out on Monday for the crop progress and subsequent Mondays. Go north into the northern plains. Yes, they had cold last week and honestly the week prior, but they're dry. North Dakota has not had meaningful precipitation over 1 inch in a very long time, pushing 3 months now. So North Dakota, South Dakota, northern Minnesota, I think once those soil temperatures get to where they need to be, they're going to accelerate quickly. We could see the fastest progress up there. Those guys have big equipment and no moisture concerns. Now let's go to the Corn Belt, and I'm going to just lump them all together. Iowa, Mississippi River, eastward. I think here we're looking at dryness as well. Not maybe much of a hiccup in terms of planting, but these soil temperatures have gotten some of this early crop. Remember, our initial crop progress report had Illinois 5% done the very first week we could talk about corn. With temperatures last week or this past week, 25, 26 degrees, how's that corn doing here as we wake up into next week? I think there's going to be some replant already talked about in the Corn Belt.
Over the winter time, there was a lot of discussion talking about La Nina. Hasn't been much recently. Where are we at there?
Well, it's fading. I mean, I think we're still seeing the long tail effect. Most in the meteorological world, especially the Australian Bureau of Meteorology, have basically stamped this thing and said, done. We're going to see the long tail effect, and you're going to see this in South America. Will it do anything up here? Short of maybe a little bit of dryness developing midsummer in Texas and then maybe a little bit of dryness out in California, I don't think La Nina is a story for anything here. What's going to be interesting is when are these talking head weather guys going to pivot and start saying, El Nino, El Nino, El Nino? That's going to be key because I don't look for an actual phenomenon to happen this year. I think we sit neutral basically for the rest of the year and don't see any kind of tropical or Pacific waters influence on our weather. We'll see, but I think it'll be interesting to see what the next headline is going to be that dominates this market on the weather side.
All right, Ryan, we appreciate the updates and hopefully we can catch up with you later on in the growing season.
That sounds like a good plan to me.
Ryan Martin, Louis Dreyfus Company, has joined us. Stay with us. We'll have more coming up.